Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
President Obama is in Ho Chi Minh City today, formerly Saigon, continuing his first trip to Vietnam. He visited the famous Jade Emperor Pagoda and then spoke to a group of entrepreneurs.
Going from a 100-year-old sacred temple to this 21st century dreamplex is, I think, a wonderful expression of the evolution that's taken place here in Vietnam, a country that honors its history, but is also boldly racing towards the future.
Tony Ngong and his family embody that evolution. Tony was 7 when the North Vietnamese captured Saigon and the war ended. He's now managing director of his family's travel company, An Tours, which is named for his mother. He joins us by Skype from Ho Chi Minh City or Saigon. Tony, welcome.
Hi, good evening.
Well, and before we talk more about the president's visit, you have a very interesting story. As we said, you were 7 years old living in Saigon in 1975. What happened to you at that point and your family as the war was ending?
Well, it was exactly on the 18th of April of 1975. My mother, Anne, was working for the U.S. Embassy, and she thought it was a good time to get the kids out of Vietnam. And so we all rushed to the airport waiting to get on one of the last military transports to leave Vietnam. And when I woke up the next morning, my mother was gone, and she had snuck back into the city with my 4-year-old sister, leaving my brother, who's 6 years old, and I at the airport, thinking she was going to come back and catch the flight with us. But the aircraft landed, and we never saw my mom and never saw Vietnam again for another 16 years. We ended up in Southern California, in Camp Pendleton, San Diego. Hmm. And through the help of the State Department, they found my great aunt, who was going on a student exchange program at Cal Poly Polytechnic San Luis Obispo. And that was our life in the United States, the start of our life when we were 6 and 7. And from then on, when we lived with my aunt, she says, you immerse yourself in English and you don't speak Vietnamese again. So from then on, we never spoke a word of Vietnamese in the house. And for 16 years, we lived in the U.S. with the 30th of April ending communications between both countries. I never got to know what happened to my mother.
And then many years later, you did hear from your mother. You got a phone call.
Yes, I was at San Jose State University, and at about 4 o'clock in the morning, I received a phone call, and the person on the other end said, "This is your mother speaking." Wow. And it was the first time I heard her voice after 16 years.
And what had happened to her?
After 1975, she says, the city was just all mixed over. The life was different. You were on ration lines, ration food. And the economy hasn't changed. With the change, the slow movement of change towards what we call Doi Mui was the significant change in about 1988-89, where it means new change, where the government allowed private enterprise to flourish in the once Saigon Ho Chi Minh City. And that was when my mom came up with the idea to try to open up a travel agency to look for her sons. And the only thing she got started was an old Sears Roebuck refrigerator that she had bought through the catalog during her time at the embassy, and sold ice water in the street corner to survive. And from then, she opened up a little bookshop. And it happened one day, travelers went through her shop, and she was a history major, so she took people around town, showing people the history of the city of Saigon. And from there, one day, a Vietnamese American had walked through her shop and asked her for help to do paperwork so he could marry his Vietnamese wife. And from then, she says, "I'll do it for free if you promise me, if you return to the U.S., you look for my sons." And so she gave him her name and her picture. And unbeknownst to us, he lived in San Jose, California.
Wow.
Of all the cities in the United States, he ended up in San Jose. And I didn't know at that time San Jose was one of the largest Vietnamese populations in the United States. So he looked us up in the phone book and he found my name. And at that time, I was staying in the dormitory at San Jose State. And he said, he called me one day and he said, "Do you know this woman by this name?" And it was the first time I heard my mother's name. And I remember what my aunt told us, to be very careful of other people that are Vietnamese. And so I didn't really think of it much. And then he wrote a letter to my mom about 2 or 3 weeks later via Canada because of the embargo. And in that letter, it says to my mom, it says, "I think I found your sons." So she ran to the old French post office right downtown, and she made that very first phone call in 1989. But she cried for 15 minutes via Canada relay, and that was the first time we were reunited again.
And you went back to Vietnam. You and your brother both went back to Vietnam to visit, and a few years later decided that you wanted to move back.
Yes. In 1993, after 3 visits, we thought, our dream was to own our own business and to be together with our mom, who we've been separated for so many years. So we decided to make that move back. You know, being college graduates, we thought that we could change the world and we can take on anything. And it was a big lesson for us when we returned. The reverse cultural shock, living in the United States, being taught independence, and returning home to Vietnam and being dependent on your family and getting around. It wasn't as quick as just to hop in a car and drive down the road or to the mall or to somewhere to pick up something. It's shops in Vietnam are located with different specialty shops in different parts of the city. So that was a big change for us to be dependent. And also the motorbikes was surprisingly much more than we could count. And so it was us crossing the street was one of the biggest feats that we had to learn when we returned to Vietnam.
Well, I remember that when I visited Saigon, it's can take 10 minutes to cross the street.
So
in
just
places.
A simple tip, just move forward and don't step back.
I guess
the motorbikes will avoid you.
Yeah, that could get you into trouble. But, you know, the other thing that I've heard there about being in Saigon and living there as a Vietnamese person is that they remember, the government remembers which side you were on so many decades ago, and it can make it difficult for you to get jobs or do certain things in Vietnam if you were with the Americans back then.
Yes, and you know, there was a time where I think after any war that there was always a sense of suspicion. But I think one of the most positive part, and I think Vietnam as a country and as a people knew how to heal as they moved forward, the biggest change was in the 1990s.
Well, and even since then, there has been quite a change because Vietnam has become one of the manufacturing capitals of the world, making the things that we buy all around the world. How has it changed since you've been back in the 90s?
I think, the funny thing was in 1995 when the embargo was lifted, free Pepsi and Coca-Cola was given out at the airport. So it was something interesting and sort of a symbolic change of relations. But I think some of the biggest change that I saw in the city is the wealth of the people. Their income had increased. Cities became more organized instead of a market just being sold on the sidewalks and things are just laid out all over. So it was a more organized city where commerce and residents, even in Vietnam till today, you find that there's no residential area. Everyone can just open up shop and make money where it was before, where you were on ration lines and waiting to get handouts. And I think that was the biggest progress in the city itself of people having more.
Well, Tony, here we are in 2016, and President Obama is in the same city that you're joining us from right now in Ho Chi Minh City or Saigon. How are people feeling about the president's visit?
I can tell you he's treated like a rock star. People lined for miles on the streets and the road just to see, you know, his motorcade come by, especially the young people. I think of all the three presidents that have visited Vietnam, President Obama seemed to symbolize a person that persevered and pressed on and succeeded. It gave the young people a lot of hope. And I think one of the things that amazed a lot of the Vietnamese people was when President Obama talked in front of an audience of 2,000 students and entrepreneurs, and he used quotes and poems from some of the most historic writers of Vietnam, and he said it from his mind, and people felt that he said it wholeheartedly, that it wasn't scripted. And so I think that was one of the things that gained a lot of respect for a lot of the Vietnamese Now he's in Saigon, where I think that the showing in Saigon was more than in Hanoi, because people felt a closeness to the U.S. than they were in the North, because this was South Vietnam.
Do you think you'll ever come back to the U.S. and live here?
Oh, I think it would be to visit, but I don't know. I'm trying to compare. Would it be better to be stuck in a freeway or stuck in a four-way intersection with other motorbikes? So I'm trying to figure that out.
That's the biggest difference, I guess, between the two.
Yes, but overall here, the food is great. The people are friendly. I think one of the things that you find, and you probably agree, that everyone smiles. Everyone's happy, and everyone wants to speak English and learn. And I think it's so important that President Obama made this trip, because it's sort of a reassurance that the closer relationship between both countries are much closer than before, and that there is a respect of each other's governments, not a pressing of who's better than who and who should change. And I think President Obama really impressed that, and it actually got the respect of the Vietnamese people and the government, that he wasn't here to try to push America's democracy, but he was trying to say, let's build a relationship together.
That's Tony Ngong, who is now managing director of An Tours in Ho Chi Minh City, or Saigon, Vietnam, where President Obama is today. Tony, thanks so much.
Oh, it's my pleasure.